Good day, everyone, and welcome, everybody. I'm going to welcome North Church in Deer Creek and in Guthrie and Oklahoma City. And I'm excited about Christmas. How about you? And we have some special Christmas at North experiences that are coming up here in just 2 weeks. Make sure that you make your plans on inviting people, bringing people, getting them here. We've added an extra experience on Saturday night at 5 o'clock. And our objective is we want to see people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What a better time than right now. There is not a better time. So make sure to invite them. All locations, check for your times and your locations. Also, our candlelight experiences. These are separate. Make sure to sign up now. And some people say, why do we got to sign up? Why do you get tickets? Here's why you get tickets. First off is this. There's an incredible prize at every single experience at all locations that we are offering. And so great prizes that you can check online and find out what they are. So that's one reason. Number two is it lets us know what experiences are filling up. So we're going to have all these services. And if one of them fills up, we got to close it down. And that's based on tickets that are taken. And we need to know that because this is not our normal time slots. And because of that, we really don't know which ones you're going to choose. And by doing this, it lets us know you're choosing these experiences. And then we need to shut them down when they get full. Okay? So move fast. Get your tickets. Students at all locations this Wednesday night. United Night. It's always a great time to see hundreds of students come worshiping Jesus, loving God, and seeing them grow together in Christ Jesus, okay? Today we are in week number two of a series, Be Not Afraid. And this week has been one of those weeks at North that, you know, just as a pastor, that's very difficult to see your people go through difficult times. Two specific scenarios, there's many others. I know that I might not mention your situation, but two that jump out at me is one, Saul Bernal, 14-year-old boy. I don't know if you've heard about the fire in the apartment complex in Guthrie. A lot of people were displaced. Some people were injured. But Saul, a 14-year-old boy, lost his life. And Saul came to our very first, for the very first time this past week to North students in Guthrie. And it hits home. And I want us to pray. I want us to pray that Guthrie can be the hands and feet of Jesus to this family and the community that is going through a very difficult time. And secondly, Lacey Echeverry and her husband Jeff attend North Church Deer Creek. And this past week, on Monday, she was in a severe car wreck. They've been very faithful for the last year and a half, 2 years that they've been attending North, very involved. And in that car wreck, her body was mangled. She had to have a rod in her left part of her leg, but in her left shoulder, her arm was, they had to have to amputate her arm. And here is a young lady, 30 years of age, who has been battling cancer, stage 4 colon cancer, with two small children, 3 years of age and 8 years of age, who's in the hospital now recovering from such severe injuries. I want us to pray as a church family. Okay, I believe in the power of prayer. I want us to stand at all locations. Would you do that? And let's pray. Let's pray. I want you to pray for Saul and his family and those that are connected in Guthrie with the situation that's going on there and our church family. And I want you to pray for Deer Creek. And I want you to pray for Jeff and Lacey and her recovery and all that's going, they're going to have to go through the next many weeks, that God's grace and mercy will walk them through that. Now, when I say that, you have needs. Some of you are struggling. Stuff that I don't even know about, maybe stuff that I do know about. And sometimes it's easy for us to hear some, you know, incredible story like we just heard of pain and heartache, and we think like mine doesn't mean much and God really doesn't care. No, no, no. He sees every sparrow that falls to the ground. He knows every hair that's numbered in your head. He is concerned about what you are going through. And sometimes your personal pain that you're not sharing with anybody is very deep and hard. And I want to pray for all of you, okay? And so if you're in need, I want you to receive this prayer, but I want us all agree. And maybe you want to verbally pray out loud, do that. Let's offer this to God. Father, we come before you right now. And God, I pray for Saul, his family, this young boy that is left behind. God, he was a son, he was a friend, a brother, a nephew, a grandson. And God, I pray that you will just begin to help the families that have been impacted. God, love on people, and may our church in Guthrie be the hands and feet of Jesus to show the love of God through a difficult and dark time. And God, I pray for our Deer Creek family, and I pray for Jeff and Lacey, and God, the healing process and the restoring of her health. God, that you step in and wrap your arms around them, and may our people be the hands and feet of Jesus to her. Show them the love, the mercy, and the care, and the concern. And God, may what the devil meant for evil to be used to bring glory to God and point back to him as the reason that the thief comes to seek to kill, steal, and destroy, but Christ has come that we may have life. And I pray this in your name, God. And God, I pray for people right now that are hurting. And God, they are struggling. They're battling in some area physically, emotionally, financially. God, you know every single situation, and you are deeply concerned, and you see what they're going through. And God, may we call out to you because you're our healer, you're our giver of life, you're our strength bearer, you're our hope when everything seems hopeless. And God, may we turn to you because you are the answer. And I pray this in the name above every name. We celebrate your name. That is the name of Jesus who's still on the throne. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said a big, come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He is worthy. You may be seated. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew, chapter number 14. I'm going to start with verse number 22. How many of you would be encouraged to know that the Bible is filled with stories of people who faced great fears? And though they went through incredible obstacles and challenges in life, they still did what God wanted them to do anyway. I think that sometimes we have a misperception about what it means to be a Christian of faith and power and might. We think that those individuals do not face the fears that other Christians face, and that they some way rise above those fears, and that's not the case. The truth of the matter is, oftentimes those who do great things for the kingdom of God and move forward is because they face their fears, and they obey God anyway. And they say, I'm just going to do what God wants me to do in spite of what I'm going through. Amen? Amen. In chapter number 14 is the story that probably some of you are familiar with if you're raised in church. If you're not raised in church, you've heard the story of Jesus walking on water. And so I want to dive into this, and we're going to look at this. And starting with verse number 22, it says, immediately after this, and after this is the speaking of the feeding of the 5,000 men, which the women and children would have made some 15,000 plus people. And here Jesus has done this incredible, incredible feat that breaks the laws of nature as he takes the loaves and fishes of a young boy that's his lunch, and then he uses that to feed the multitude. Every single person is fed. That's a miraculous thing that happens. And so this has just happened. They are celebrating. They are on cloud nine. And then it says this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home, which was very strange. He had not done this before. Jesus always, he doesn't always do things the way we expect him to do things. Hello? And Jesus takes our lack, if you give it to him, and do something very miraculous with it. Verse 23, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there, this is key, all alone. I take a few things away from this. First off is this. These disciples who he sent out are about to go onto a lake and about to face a major storm. A major storm. And different texts say it differently. So there's a passage in Matthew that we just read. Then there's one in Mark chapter 6. And there's also another one in John chapter 6. Each one of them gives a slightly different account of the events that transpire. But the first thing I take away from this is that don't wait for the storms in life to come before you begin to pray to God. And oftentimes we are slow to go to God with our issues until it gets out of control, and then we begin to run to him, right? Another thing I take from this is that we need to be intentional about our alone time with God. Jesus gives us an example of one, praying before the storm, and number two, being very intentional about getting alone to be with God. Now here is God being alone with God. God the Son being alone with God the Father. And he's exempling to us what we should be doing. And I've actually placed the title of this message based on that verse that I just read, which the title of my message is simply this, Alone with God. So are you taking time to be alone with God? Because when you're alone with someone, with something. Oftentimes when we are alone, we're alone with ourselves, and that's scary enough. Matter of fact, in our culture, we are so busy, we're not comfortable being alone. We're not comfortable being alone with our thoughts because our thoughts have so much baggage that comes with it. It comes with fears, concerns, worries, anxiety, all of those things which causes us to push ourselves to surround every moment with somebody, with something that's going to help us get through the moment, not with us truly being alone. I was thinking back whenever I was a kid and we'd get together with some other kids. I'm talking when I was a child in middle school specifically, and even high school. And when I get together with my friends, oftentimes what we would do is that we'd gather in a circle in the dark of night and the cover of darkness, and we would share scary stories. Anybody do that? And it's like we'd try to top. One would tell something that maybe they heard from somebody else, and then they would just kind of, you know, enlarge it a little bit more, and then we'd begin to grab stories out of the middle of nowhere to try to create this attitude, this spirit of just scariness around us. Am I the only one that's done that? But I find that oftentimes when we get alone, that there is voices that we'll begin to hear that will begin to do the same thing in our life. And I made some notes of some causes of fear in our life. And you may want to write these down. The lies we believe create fear in our life. Going all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3 at the very beginning, you find Adam and Eve in the garden and the serpent comes along. And what does the serpent begin to do? Begins to tell lies to Adam and Eve. And those lies are lies of fear, uncertainty about who God is. And we say, if God really wanted you, no, he would not keep you from those better things. And so therefore, lies are planted in the mind. Another one is this, the guilt we feel is a cause of fear. And so for Adam and Eve, they bought into the lie. And the moment they bought into the lie, what happened? They began to feel the guilt of their choice. They begin to feel the shame of the moment. They realize their nakedness all around them. And you know what the enemy does? The enemy tries to create fear based upon the guilt that you have and the struggles of wrong choices, mess ups. And another cause of fear that I wrote down is this, the insecurities we have. So it's the lies we believe, the guilt we feel, and the insecurities we have. So for Adam and Eve in chapter number 3, what happens? They immediately begin to feel insecure. And what did they do? They go out and began to get some leaves together and cover themselves up. And they simply covered them. And you know what? That was a facade. It really could not, it could not take care of what only God could do. Because God shows up a little later and what does he do? He realizes that those leaves aren't going to work. And he actually kills an animal and blood is shed. And he takes the skins of the animal and wraps around them because only God can deal with our insecurities. Because oftentimes we will try to cover up our issues with, you know, with success, with promotions, with degrees, with clothes, with cars, with homes, with relationships, and with sometimes with things that we take into our body and we begin addicted to that. And all that is a cover up to the real issues that only God can deal with. It really is. You see, the way we deal with lies, guilt, and insecurities will determine how we face our fears in life. And if you're going to attack the fears in life, you want to write this down. You got to attack the lies, the guilt, and the insecurities you face by being alone with God and praying aloud. And I specifically added the praying aloud because I find that oftentimes when I get alone with God, have you ever done this? And you say, I'm just going to spend time with God. And I go, I got 15, 20, 30 minutes. And I just sit there. And as I just sit there, all of a sudden, I can't even think about God. All I'm thinking about is my list of things I've got to do. I'm thinking about my worries. I'm thinking about my fears. I'm thinking about all of those things. And one of the things I have realized in my own solution to this predicament is that if I begin to talk to God, because you know what I found out? Is sometimes I can even listen to you. And I'm listening to you and I'm not paying attention to you. Has anybody ever done that? You're thinking about your own issues. But the moment I begin to tell you my story, I am totally locked in and focused on what I have to say. And so when you get along with God, learn to talk to God. And sometimes for me, by speaking it out loud, it allows me not to be distracted by my thoughts. As I begin to pray aloud and begin to communicate to God and say, God, here's what I'm going through. For some of you, it may be driving to work and you got that 20-minute commute. Turn off the radio, turn off talk radio, turn off of those things and begin to talk to God and say, God, you know what I'm facing at work. God, you know what's going on in the cubicle next to me. God, you know about my concerns. You know about my fears. You know about my issues. You know about my insecurities. You know about the guilt that I have, and you know about the lies that are going on, and begin to talk to God. And also, when you begin to talk to God aloud, begin to give Him the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that will not return void. And when you just know one little scripture, just get that one scripture. It could be simply this: Father, you said you will not leave me nor forsake me. Well, take that and run with it and begin to tell God over and over again about, God, you said you're going to be there with me in this relationship, in this conversation I have to have, in this situation, in this doctor's appointment, with my finances. And say, God, you promised that you would never leave me nor forsake me, but you would go with me to the end of the age. And as you begin to make those aloud promises alone with God, you will begin to realize your fears will begin to subside. And faith will begin to rise. So I wanted to write these down. Three things. That the disciples dealt with, that you're going to deal with in life. You're going to face these fears. First is the fear of the circumstances around you. Jesus, in a very uncommon experience to the disciples, decides to stay there and get rid of the crowd, which was kind of crazy. Now you think about this. This guy is a superstar, rock star, famous. The paparazzi are everywhere trying to get pictures of him. And you got 15,000 people that he's trying to send away. Hello. Everybody's trying to get his autograph. Everybody's trying to get them to just, would you pray over me? Would you touch me? Would you kind of, you get the picture? And here Jesus is sending them away. Jesus has spent all this time and energy, and now he realizes the value of him being alone with God. And he goes onto a hill alone, and he sends the disciples on. Why does he send them on? Why does he do that? Jesus sends his disciples on for a reason. He wants them to learn that even when he is not there, he is there. And that they're going to face issues in life. And when they face issues in life and circumstances surround them, are you going to choose fear or are you going to choose faith? You see, because Jesus never wants you to be in a position so that you do not have to trust him. Did everyone hear that? Every day he wants you to be reminded of your need of him and how that you must depend solely and totally upon him. I don't know about you, but some of the times when I have messed up the most and made the biggest regrets has been the moments when I feel like, oh, you know what? I can do it okay. But in when I have had to fall on my face because I realize my lack and my how insufficient I am and how much I need God and how the circumstances are surrounding me, that's when I tend to turn to God and say, God, I really need you right now. The devil wants you to get to a point where you feel like, oh, you can make it on your own. Jesus never wants to get to a point. And he's reminding the disciples of their absolute need for him in all situations in life. Look at verse 24. It says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land. For a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Now, another passage in the book of Mark chapter 6 says that Jesus saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. And that Jesus saw is so crucial because here is Jesus on a mountain. They're out in the lake. It is dark and there is a storm going on. Can he really see them? In his humanity? No. In his deity? Yes. Which speaks to who Jesus Christ is. No matter what you are going through in life, he sees exactly what you are going through at work, at home, in your mind, in your emotions, and he is concerned about what you are going through. He sees it. Look at verse 25. But around 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. I find oftentimes that many Christians will spend their lives rowing against the wind through the night, concerned, fretting about stuff that they should not be fretting about instead of inviting Jesus into the boat of their life. Stop and invite Jesus in. When the disciples saw him walking on water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am," said with me, "I am here. I am here. I am here." He is there in the middle of the circumstances. The next thought I want you to write down is this, is the fear of the limitations within us. So we got the fear of the circumstances around us. Secondly, we got the fear of the limitations within us. In Mark chapter number 6, it says that Jesus would have passed them by, which is interesting to me. And what I took of this is that Jesus will let you feel all alone to see if you will try to face your feelings all alone. Or will you turn to him in faith? Look at verse 28. It says, "Then Peter called out to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water toward Jesus." So many of us, it's easy to put Peter down for all of the things that he does, and you know, we make fun of him a little bit, but the truth of the matter is the dude had some faith. The dude had some radical step out there faith that I think we need today. And look at verse number 30. It says, "But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink." That word jumped out at me. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. He began to sink. I don't know about you, but have you ever walked on water? And the moment you step on water, have you ever sunk, or do you just fall straight to the bottom? Here Peter is beginning to sink. Now, I don't know how this looked exactly, but here's what I envision in my mind, is that the moment he began to see the winds and the waves and got his eyes off of Jesus, he began to gradually sink just like he was sinking in quicksand. That doesn't happen with water. You don't walk on water, number two. Number two, you just don't sink. And here he is beginning to sink. And it was God's way, Jesus' way, to get his attention so that he would begin. Because if he really felt like you would really fall in water, he wouldn't have had time to call out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." He went straight down. Instead, he begins to sink. And as he begins to sink, he begins to realize his limitations. I think it's so important to realize your limitations. I'm not good enough without Jesus Christ. I'm not smart enough without Jesus Christ. I'm not bright enough without Jesus Christ. You cannot do what you need to do to have an effective marriage without Jesus Christ. You cannot do what you need to do to be an effective businessman or woman without Jesus Christ. You cannot do what you need to do to parent without Jesus Christ. We've got to realize our personal limitations within us and realize that everything that we need for life and godliness flows through Jesus Christ. Because through him, we can do all things. But through us, we can't do anything. There is something that jumps out to me when it comes to the thought of fear. It's this. Each of us wants to experience some measure of fear. Matter of fact, I believe that it kind of is a part of our human nature. I think us sitting around in a circle as children and sharing stories that are kind of scary stories is part of something that drives us. And here's my thoughts on this, is because I really feel like what fear does for us, fear reminds us that we are alive and that we have something to live for. Hear me. That's why Jesus never wants you to get comfortable in your walk with him. He is always calling you to another level. Oftentimes, what crushes us as followers of Christ is that we are such in a pursuit for finding a comfort zone in our spiritual walk, and God is never wanting you to be in that comfort zone. That's why Jesus said, you got to take up your cross and follow me. There is something about the adventures with Jesus Christ that he is calling us to another level. Paul talked about going from glory to glory. And what we must begin to realize is that Christ has never asked us to be comfortable. He is calling us to another experience with him. And the experience that Christ and the journey he takes us on is not always easy. Sometimes it's very scary. Sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes it's very hard. But when he is in the boat and when he is overlooking, it is all going to be okay. The adventures of life. Got a question for you. What is it that God is doing in your life right now that scares you to death? Think about that. What is it that God is doing in your life that scares you to death? What commitment have you made? How are you stepping out of your comfort zone in your life? What scares you to death? Because if you cannot think of anything, you are probably not obeying God to the fullest. That if there's nothing that kind of causes some fear, causes some concern, maybe it is that you need to stop and realize, you know what? And what happens is when you get in that place, sometimes God will throw you into a place where, like he did with the disciples, where they are absolutely having to be dependent upon God. Don't wait for God to throw you into that place. Learn to hear the voice of God and trust him by faith. And challenge your fears. Number three is this, write this down. Is the fear of the purpose God has for us. So the fear of the circumstances around us, and then the fear of the limitations within us, and then there's finally the fear of the purpose God has for us. But this I'm taking from a positive standpoint in light, not from a negative standpoint in light. Hear me on this. We assume if God has told us to do something, oftentimes we won't be afraid. And that is not the case at all. Matter of fact, to obey God throughout the Bible requires individuals to face a lot of fears. That we're going to be overcome only by one way, and that's placing their faith in God. Look at verse number 31. It says, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Speaking of Peter, who was sinking. You don't sink in water. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You are really the Son of God, they exclaimed. I wrote this down in my notes. God allows us to go through difficult places, not to destroy us, but to define us as one of his disciples. That's why we go through what we go through. He's just maturing you. He is defining you. He is developing you. He is working to form you into the final product that he has for you. And when it comes to that word fear God, it is so confusing. Because we read throughout the Old Testament and even the New Testament this idea of fear the Lord, fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, over and over again. But what does that mean? Let me give you two things to think about when it comes to what it means to fear God. First off is this. To fear God means to hate what he hates. Hear me. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 8 and verse number 13 says it this way. Is that to fear the Lord is to hate evil. In other words, it's to hate what he hates. And he goes ahead and explains. He said, so I hate perverse speech. I hate pride. I hate corruption. And he lists some things. And that wasn't meant to be an end all, but God is just letting us know that there's some things he hates. And for you to fear the Lord means that you hate what he hates. The second thought I want to give you is this. To fear the Lord is to be terrified. This is the key one. To be terrified to be outside of his protection. Hear me. There's an umbrella of God's grace and mercy over your life. And to fear the Lord is to say, I'm afraid to walk out of his protection and do life on my own. Matthew chapter 10, listen to what Jesus says. He says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only who? God. Read that with me. Come on. Fear only God. One more time. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Back when my youngest daughter was very, very small, she hadn't learned how to swim yet. We were over at a neighbor's house across the street. Me and Shannon, all the kids had taken an afternoon. We went over there to swim at their pool, and we swim for a good bit, and then we're leaving. Shannon and the other two kids go onto the house. I'm with Annabeth, And I get Annabeth out. I actually put clothes on her. I'm kind of getting her ready. And then I walk around to the side of the house to take some swim stuff and around to put it back, putting everything back where it should. And when I'm out of visual, I hear a splash in the pool. And my first thought when the splash happened was it's their dog, because they have a dog that would constantly be jumping in the pool and swimming. So he would actually get up on the diving board and run and just jump. It was pretty cool. And so that was my first thought. But then the second thought was like, I'm just going to check and make sure that it's the dog. I walked around the house, and lo and behold, Annabeth is in the middle of the pool. I had told her to stay over here, away from the pool. She had went over to the diving board, got on the diving board, walked out the center diving board with no one around, jumped off into the pool and could not swim. I immediately, with my clothes on, jumped into the pool, grabbed her, and put her on the side. Fortunately, these events happened so quick, she was not in super danger. But if I had not have been there, if I had not have heard, it could have been a different story. I want you to write this down. Be more afraid of what happens if you don't obey God than what happens if you do obey God. You see, fear being outside of God's umbrella of protection. There's a reason God gives us these principles and these promises in His Word. There's a reason God says what He says. Why? It's to protect us. It's to keep us. It's to guide us. Fear being outside of His perfect provision and plan for your life. The three Hebrew children, anybody heard that story of the fiery furnace? Come on, go back. If you're 40 years age and plus, or maybe 50 years, you probably remember the felt board in Sunday school where you'd have these little images of these three Hebrew children. What were their names? Shadrach, Meshach, and I love the third one, a billy goat. Come on, somebody preach with me. So all three of them are told when the music plays, you got to bow down. They said, we're not going to bow. They didn't the first time. The second time, they heated the furnace up 7 times hotter and said, we're giving you another chance. And they make a statement. They say, no, you can heat it up 7 times hotter. We're still not going to bow. We're still not going to bow ourselves because we've made a decision. We're going to serve God because we want to be under His protection instead of pleasing you. And they said these words. They said, we may go in there, but we know this. Our God is more than able to save us from that fire. But even if He doesn't, we're still not going to bow to your gods. That's fearing the purpose of God above the plans of man. This week, on Monday, I received a call. Tough call. And I was reminded of this video that we showed last year for Christmas, because it was involving this couple. Jeff and Lacey. I want you to listen to their story, because I'm telling you, it's a story of a couple that has been serving Christ for just a short time, but has a resolve to serve Him and to fear Him above everything else in life.
I am Jeffrey Etcheverry.
And I am Lacey Etcheverry. And in December of 2016, I was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer.
She was in so much pain, and I thought she had appendicitis, so I took her into the ER, and she went in for emergency surgery. That was a really difficult moment for us, because we didn't know exactly what was going to happen, and we could never have foreseen what was going to happen after that when we found out that from her surgery, they had to take out a part of her colon, and she was then diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And shortly after the new year, we had come to terms with everything that we had been told, and we were starting to get a good game plan together for treatment, but we felt that there was something more that we needed in our lives.
It was the middle of the night. He coincidentally was awake. I just kind of looked to him and said, I need to get a hold of Chriselle. She had brought up North to us multiple times, and either of us were the most religious prior to all of this. When I woke up in the middle of that night, I said, you know, we need to get a hold of Chriselle, and we need to go to North.
And so we came to North, and I still remember to this day Pastor Rodney giving the message. I think I've counted how many times Pastor Rodney has said cancer in all of his services since we've been here. But that message, he said it. And we connected so much at that moment that we knew we found a home for us.
There was one day and we came to service. I was actually serving. I was working on graphics and going through all the scripture, and Pastor had talked about, it's not about your life on earth. It's about getting to heaven. It was shortly after I had come to terms with the fact that I do have a terminal illness. For some reason, I had a sense of peace. It was just that feeling of, just like when we got my diagnosis, and while it was dramatic and upsetting and life-changing, that message was life-changing for me since that diagnosis of, it is gonna be okay.
There is no other way that could have happened if it wasn't for the healing power of God. We have no doubt that He's gonna guide us through this process, and everything will be all right. Whether the outcome is what we want it to be or not, at least we both know that we will be at peace with whatever happens.
On Monday, I got a call. It's one of those calls that you don't want to get. It was informing me that Lacey had been in a wreck. Jeff was leaving work, and Lacey was too, and they were headed to the doctor to meet with their doctor, and God had provided miraculously for them in regards to the battle against cancer, and His healing power was at work in their life. But as she was driving, she didn't show up to the doctor's office when she should have. And so Jeff calls her, texts her. She's not responding. After a little bit longer of time, realizing that she should be here and she's not responding, I got to go find her. He follows the route that which she would have taken, and he comes upon a wreck. Police cars are blocking the road, but he could see in the distance that that was her car, and it was mangled in horrible condition. Finds out by talking to a police officer that she had just been loaded into the ambulance, has been taken off, but has no status on what's going on. You see, in that moment right there, Jeff faced the fear of the circumstances around him. Circumstances that unexpectedly happen that he cannot control, cannot deal with. They come. Secondly, he was dealing with the limitations within him. You talk about feeling helpless, not even knowing the condition of your wife. And you can't pull anything out, any trick, any changes, anything to make this thing better immediately. It's the limitations within you. But there's also the fear of the purpose God has for us. And understanding that there's no better place to be than under His umbrella of protection and mercy. And Jeff was also there. In fact, I went to the hospital and got to spend some time with them. And one thing I've got real quick, in this young couple who has only been following Christ for less than 2 years, there's a deep resolve inside of them that says, God's got this. And I love what they said. Let me just say in that video, let me just read it back to you, word for word. They said this: we have no doubt that everything is going to be all right. Whether the outcome is what we want it to be or not, we both know that we are at peace with whatever happens. Lacey lost her arm in that wreck. Lacey's on a road to healing. But Lacey has a resolve and a strength of character that can only come from God that says, you know what? I'd rather be under His umbrella protection than on my own doing life myself. And there's nothing better than choosing to fear God over the fear of man. You know what Jeff was that day when he was out there and saw the wreck? He was alone with God. You know, when he was driving to the hospital, he was alone with God. You know, Lacey, when she was being loaded into the ambulance, you know what she was? She was alone with God. You know where she's at right now? Alone with God. And there's no better place to be than alone with God. Because when you're alone with God, you can face anything the devil throws your way and you can make it. Eyes closed, please, and no one looking around. Holy Spirit, speak right now to us. Alone with you is the best place we can be. Alone with you is where we need to be. Maybe you're here and you're not even a follower of Christ. You're living on your own without protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. And oh, that's not where God wants you to be. He wants you to experience his love and his mercy. Surrender to him. Give your life to Jesus. Repent and say, God, I need you, and come to him today. And for many others of you, just realize that you can't do this on your own. You can't make it on your own. Fear the purposes of God and trust in him above anything else. Father, I pray right now by your power and your might, do your thing. Show your grace and mercy real in this place. God, as we surrender our lives to you once again, may we be reminded that all the circumstances of life, everything we face is worth facing it when you're with us in the boat. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.